Amen. Thank God for that powerful time in God's presence. Can we appreciate God one more time? Hallelujah. Good to see everyone. Good evening. I believe we'll have a great time this evening. We're blessed already. If we just go home now, we're blessed, but there's still more in our fellowship this evening. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans 15. We're still looking at that scripture. I think this is the fourth Saturday that we've been. Hallelujah. Romans 15. Are we there? Are we there? So let's read verse 4, as we've been doing. Okay, while we wait, let's read from our Bibles. One to go. Amen. So we've been looking at this, and we said that everything written in the scripture was written for our learning. And we said that that's a very important posture that we need to have. One of the ways to maximize our walk with God is to have a heart that is always learning. This evening we want to go further. And tonight we want to look at patience. The Bible talks about the patience and the comfort of the scriptures. Hallelujah. That means that if we stay with the scripture, one of the things that we will encounter on our way is patience. And I want you to know that patience is not just, yes, it's a virtue. Yes, it's a good character to have. But I believe that patience is an entity in the spirit. Hallelujah. And as we walk with God, as we do all that we do, in the next few days, we'll be talking about militarization. How many of us are looking forward to that? And one of the things that I'll be sharing with us this evening is that one of the things that would help us to truly be soldiers of Jesus Christ is what we're looking at, patience. Patience is not some passive complacency. Hallelujah. We resist with patience. We resist weariness. We resist defeat with patience. So the Bible says the patience and the comfort of the scriptures. Patience is so important. The Bible says we should not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience. It's not faith alone. It says faith and patience inherit the promises. In Hebrews again, in Hebrews 10, it says that you have need of patience or endurance. It's all in the same family. That after you have done the will of God, it says that you might receive the promise. Amen. So he says the patience and comfort of the scriptures. Let me just say this in case I forget. Did you know that every battle in life, for example, is a battle of strength? Many times what is at stake is whether you would give in. Amen. In 1 or 2 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says there was a long war, not just war, but a long war between, please let's see that scripture, if we can find it. between the house of Saul and the house of David. Amen. Have we found it? There was a long what? War between the house of Saul and the house of David. Okay, 2 Samuel 3. Can we? Verse 1. Amen. Hallelujah. You see this? It says there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And one of the things that helps us to grow stronger and stronger is what we're looking at this evening. Patience. Did you know that before, I think it was in one of the devotions we were having, and one of the nights, and Pastor was teaching and was saying that one of the greatest weapons, he said, incidentally, we're looking at the life of David, and he was saying that probably the greatest weapon of the enemy is discouragement. How many of us remember that? And do you know that many times before discouragement sets in, weariness has set in? And in a nutshell, to buttress my point, it's difficult. The kind of patience we're talking about, patient people are not discouraged. Hallelujah. Because it's a walk of the Spirit. One of the meanings of the word patience, it means to continue. You can't, and discouragement seeks to stop us from going further. You can't say you are patient. You can't be patient and discouraged at the same time. Do we understand this? So the Bible says the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures. If we have time, we'll get to comfort, but we'll stay with patience this evening in the time that we have. Is this making any sense to us? Amen. And it's one of the things that we would have to learn. We have to be patient people. Jesus said we'll get there. Jesus in Luke 8, the parable of the sower, the one that is desirable, that all of us want to be, he says that we bring forth fruit with patience. So there's no, this patience matter, there's no escape route. In another place, Jesus said, in your patience, possess your souls. Hallelujah. So there is something about patience for us. Let's go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. The patience and the comfort of the Scriptures. You will not enjoy Jesus. You will not enjoy your Christianity as you are meant to if this is missing. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he that believes will not make haste. So patience is not just folding your hands and doing nothing. It's hope. It's inner strength. You know, many times when somebody dies, and many of us need to repent, you say, may God grant him the fortitude to bear the loss. Some people, I can bet, some people don't even know the meaning of that word fortitude. But you just grew up hearing people say it. When you lose a loved one, for example, one of the greatest attack at that point is to stop where you are and not go forward. Do you understand this? That's why people have questions. We pray. We did all of that. The major, major attack is that we will not continue. The Bible says we would know the Lord when we follow on. Hallelujah. There is patience helps us to continue. Some of us here watch soccer. Have you seen how Real Madrid play? Unless you are leading them like like 4-0, you can rest. But if it's 1-0, if it's 2-0, sometimes they're not even in a hurry. I can't use Man U. I've used Man U years ago. But Man U of today, the weariness is strong. Amen. So let's use teams that are succeeding. Amen. So let's go to Hebrews 6. As I, you notice, I've started wearing their Real Madrid shirt. I don't want to be identified with failure. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The first thing that we need to appreciate, one of the major, if you want to be a winner, if you want to be somebody that is effective, one of the primary understandings that you must have is that anything you are doing, you are in that thing for the long haul. Hallelujah. And the moment and the nature of our walk with God, the way it is designed, it's meant to be forever. And you know that something that is forever is not a joke. Amen. I remember as I was thinking about this, I remember one of the experiences that Isaac said he had one time. And I can't remember everything. But he says that God was screaming at him that I didn't save you for 5 years. I didn't save you for... How many of us remember that experience? He has shared it several. I didn't save you. Thank you. I didn't save you for 10 years. And he gave some examples. So basically, it's long. And anything that is long, you need patience for it. The word patience, it also means literally to be long of spirit. You are not, and you know that changes the whole thing. If you get into a marriage, for example, knowing that this thing is forever, you are likely going to do better than the one that already has prenup arrangement. Because prenup means that any day your head is not correct, we'll share what we have and we'll go. Hallelujah. I want us to appreciate that. And if we're going to, and I think this is a beautiful conversation we're having leading up to militarization. One of the things that needs to happen in your mind is that you are in this for the long haul. And the Bible says, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. We're going to do a comparison between, so keep your finger on Hebrews 6:12, and then let's go to Hebrews 10, and then we'll compare these two scriptures, and we'll combine their meanings. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, let's start reading from 35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance or patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hallelujah. So in these two scriptures, we'll see the word patience. But the word used is not the same. The word translated patience in those two places is not the same. In Hebrews 6:12, the word used there, it talks about long, and then it talks about our temper, and it speaks about ability to endure persecution and ill treatment. Hallelujah. So he says, those are the kind of people that inherit the promise. through faith and patience. That's their CV. Not faith alone, faith and patience. So an ability to endure persecution, ill treatment. That's what militarization is all about. You take all the blows, but you are still standing. Because remember, every battle in life is a battle of strength. Hallelujah. One of the visions of Daniel, the Bible, I don't know where it is now, but the Bible tells us that the plan of the Antichrist is to weary the saints. That's the goal, to weary the saints. So we have to take this thing seriously. The picture I have of patience is that you know what you are looking at, and it doesn't matter what is happening around. Your eyes are on that thing. Whatever is coming, your eyes are on it, and then you will eventually take it. Do we understand? So it says the patience of the scriptures. Of course, you know, you can't build anything significant without patience. One of the days I was telling us here, I was one of these Saturdays, and I was telling us that any financial plan you have, for example, that patience is not there. It's not complete. Hallelujah. Patience is a major part of your financial plan. And it's not just sitting idle or anything, but patience. You know that God will come through. Hallelujah. So patience, very, very important. The other one in Hebrews 10, it's another word translated. It speaks about what it means to bear up. It means to continue. Hallelujah. And continuing is a big deal. Praise God. Many times, believe it or not, the issue in many people's lives many times is that the enemy has literally done a line. Say, you will not go beyond this point. And sometimes when people try to go beyond that point, all kinds of attacks begin to happen. One of the attacks, for example, is weariness. And that other one in Hebrews 10, which says that you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It speaks about actively resisting weariness and defeat. Hallelujah. It's not just passive. It's not just that we're patient. We're not doing anything. Understand that one of the ways the enemy would come for you is weariness. Hallelujah. When you hear some news, weariness. That's why today, for example, it's almost as if we hear more stories of people that cancer has taken than people that are healed. Some of us can't even, when once a year is stage 4, to even pray, that's the weariness. You won't even be able to pray, because just remember, Bill Johnson's wife just went and all of that. It's an attack. There is a weariness that we have to resist. And as we talk about militarization in the coming days, that's one of the things that, one of the signs that Satan is winning is when God's people are weary. And that's why the Bible tells us that we should not be weary in well-doing. If the Bible says we should not be weary in well-doing, it means that you can be weary in well-doing. And I'm telling you, many people today are weary. So you see that patience is not just, I'm a good person. Hallelujah. It is a work of the Spirit. It is a work of God that we must all trust God to walk in us. You have to be a patient person. Hallelujah. It says you have need of patience. And trust me, if the Bible says you need something, you need it. Amen. If God says you need something, you need it. He says that after you have done the will of God, you would obtain the promise. But the first point that I want to make is that you must appreciate the long haul. Everything that is in your hand now, how are you treating it? How are you living your life? Amen. I was telling us, for example, this church now, as God is helping us, the way we're doing church, if God helps us, when Jesus comes back, whenever that will be, this church will still be here. That's a long, you know, if you're thinking like that, your behavior will be different. Amen. You won't conclude easily. You won't just do things anyhow. But many of us don't think like this. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. There is something about patience that I'm trying to draw our attention to this evening. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. But before then, let's go to James 5. I love how James put it. He says, you have heard about the patience of Job. And then he began to speak about all the great things that God did for Job. Where is that verse now? Okay, let's start from verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another. So sometimes grumbling is a sign of no patience. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. The patience of Job. We'll go to Luke chapter 8. But let me just say this for free. Do you know that sometimes one of the ways to even get revelation from scripture is patience? Many of us don't understand the word as God will have us, because we are not patient. Amen. So just take that and keep that somewhere. One of the ways to enjoy your Bible, one of the ways the Bible will make more sense to you, is to be patient. Stay with it. Don't say what it didn't say. Don't add to what is not there. Just patience. This is powerful. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. Hope we're getting blessed. Are we in Luke? So from verse 11. Just read it for context. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones... before we go on, I think I've shared this with us before. There are about 8 major parables that describe, that Jesus used to illustrate the kingdom. Hallelujah. And the parable of the sower, Jesus called it the mother of all the parables, the chief of all the parables. In one time, he told the people he was talking to, he says, if you don't understand the chief of all the parables, then how will you get what I'm saying? So I said that to say that this parable of the sower is something that we must keep looking into, because it describes the state of a Christian at different points in their lives. Hallelujah. So it's a very, very important parable. So it says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Amen. So it means that the fruit that you bear with patience many times is something that God, is something that will look like God. Amen. So patience is very, very important. And if you, as we engage in the coming days, as we get into the militarization, I'm really, really looking forward to that, because it describes, I believe for me, it doesn't just describe the rest of the year, describes what will happen in the coming years. And then we'll look back and we'll be grateful to God. One of the things we need to arm ourselves with is patience. It's difficult for anybody to talk you out of something that you are patient with. Hallelujah. It's difficult to give up on your marriage, for example, if you are operating patience. We understand this. It's very simple, but the fruit is beautiful. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Luke 21. In your patience, possess your souls. It's either 21:19 or 19:21. 21:19, okay. Luke 21:19. But by your patience, possess your souls. Amen. So, patient people don't lose. We understand. Patient people don't lose. It might look as if you are losing now, but you know, because we are in this for the long haul, a patient man is never a loser. Before Jesus said this, he was talking to them about some of the treatments that they will face, the provocation, the harsh things that they would encounter. But he says that in your patience, you will possess your soul. Amen. We have a generation now that understands little or nothing about persecution. But Paul told us clearly that now we can have conversations about what the persecution is and all of that. But Paul told us clearly that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will do what? Will suffer persecution. Amen. And Pastor has told us severally, by that we're not talking about poverty and sickness and all of that. But you can't be on this road. The road that we're traveling on, there is persecution on that road. And if you've not learned to endure, if you've not learned to withstand, which are all the components of patience, you might just fall by the wayside. I don't know what you pray when you are alone, but one of the prayers I want to encourage you to be praying is that you will not fall by the wayside. Believe it or not, people have fallen by the wayside. Amen. People have fallen by the wayside. And Pastor has told us again and again, when you are in a house like this, the older you are in a house like this, the easier your chances of falling aside are higher. Amen. And we all need to know this and guard our hearts. Do you know that if you are not careful, the people that this house is blessing the most now, currently, for example, it may not bless, this house now may not bless you the way it is blessing someone that just came. But you have to fight. You have to retain that. And that's why we're saying many of the things that we're saying. So in your patience, you possess your souls. Appreciate that one of your walk till you see Jesus in glory is to resist. We would keep resisting and resisting till we see Jesus. You will never get to a point in your life where you won't have to resist. Amen. Because Satan has been stripped of all power and all authority. And many times, what he has now is only the ability to suggest. But those suggestions, many times the way they come, people are not able to resist them. And one of his major suggestions is weariness, defeat. And if you don't resist this, but we're learning again this evening that patience helps us to resist. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, the Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. It says, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So I like everyone listening to me this evening, let this be something that we install in our heart. There is a difference. There will always be a difference between a patient pastor and an impatient pastor. Amen. There will always be a difference between a patient husband and an impatient husband, a patient wife and an impatient wife. And we can go on and on. Psalm 90, I believe verse 17, The Bible says, let the beauty of our God be upon us. One of the components of that beauty is what we're looking at. A patient spirit is beautiful. A patient heart is beautiful. There is nothing beautiful about impatience. Everybody, check your life. Everybody that is a blessing to you, one way or the other, they have been patient with you. And through that patience, God is being glorified. There are many things that we will not see. In James 5, it says, Job was patient and he saw the end intended of the Lord. Many people don't see the end intended of the Lord in their lives because they are not patient. This is very, very simple and practical, but the enemy would come for this. And we must keep growing in this understanding. It is littered all over the scripture. What people did with patience. Amen. We're now talking about taking cities. One of the ways you take a city is with patience. Hallelujah. Because without patience, you can't even strategize the way you are meant to strategize. Everything is just mumbled up and it's just going to be a mess. I remember a popular man of God, what's his name? Reverend Ajetunmobi, some of us know him, he's in Ibadan. Said one time they went to a place they were supposed to take. How many of us know him? Okay, a few of us. Amen. And they went to a place and they said it was a village very notorious for cultic activities and all of that. And they said they just went, they were just doing everything, all the activities they were doing. They said the woman, an elderly woman came, took a cane and beat all of them. And the woman made a statement. She said, is this how to enter a city? And beat all of them, disgrace them, embarrass them. And then he said they had to go back, plan and all of that, and come back, and God was glorified. What am I trying to say? There are many, many beautiful things that we would not see, or we will not experience if we are not patient. Amen. And if you forget everything that I say this evening, patience, there is nothing, if it is the patience of the Lord, there is nothing about the patience of the Lord that is passive. That's one point that I want you to take. There is nothing about patience that is passive. You will win with patience. You will have many victories with patience. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Do you know there's a lot of work involved in that? Because many times we want to get involved till we spoil everything. Amen. But God says, be still and know that I am God. The Bible says, from where you are standing, lift up your eyes and look. That involves patience. Most people don't want to lift up their eyes from where they are standing. They want to go somewhere high or somewhere that looks like it. And then they now begin to see. But it says, from where you are, lift up your eyes and look. If we are going to maximize our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we are going to be truly and effectively militarized, one of the things that has to be in place is patience. Hallelujah. Is this making sense to us? patience. The world, what is the spirit of the age is against all these things. You would only hear this in church, but this is how we win. Amen. He that believes, let's see that scripture. He that believes does not make haste. He that believes does not make haste. I know it's in Isaiah, I think it's 20. Yes, 28. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily, will not make haste. Hallelujah. He that believes will not make haste. This becomes more profound in a generation that is obsessed with speed. Hallelujah. In a generation that is obsessed with speed, we have to keep learning and reminding ourselves that we need to be patient. There's an analogy that Pizak used to give. He says, if you are in God's hand and God is about to shoot an arrow, you know, sometimes it's like it keeps growing. It's very elastic. And that point, that elasticity, that's a picture I want you to have of patience. At some point, you'll be released. But that timing is in God's hands. And if you run ahead of that, everything you do is in vain. But when God releases you, hallelujah. That's why you hear when some men of God are praying for people, and you have to accommodate you have to expand your theology. God can collapse 10 years in 1 year. Hallelujah. It's not motivation. It happens. And some of us are already beginning to see it in every area of your life. God can literally collapse 10 years in 1 year. But sometimes patience, it looks like you are just, it looks like you are not doing anything. Hallelujah. We have to take this seriously. Why are many people not delivered from the rat race, for example? Even Christians. Because they are not patient. I said earlier, and I want to say again, any financial plan that you have that does not include patience, please go and update it. Amen. So that you will not die. You will not die before your time. Amen. All this rat race happening everywhere. People want to blow. That spirit is not of God. People want to hammer. People are hustling. It's not the spirit of God. And you must be careful how you use those words. Because the spirit of hustling will succeed at anybody's expense. Amen. Do you know that in this our Lagos, there are people that maybe, let's say, we're using a hall now. There are other people, maybe another church, they want to come there. They go and offer the landlord more money so that it would drive away the church that is there. And a lot of people are frustrated. They don't know what to do. Now, the question is, what kind of heart is that? How can you, is it not the church of Jesus again? How can you meet a church somewhere and you, it's happening, no? It's happening, but it's a very, very terrible, terrible heart. So patience is not something that we can escape from. So when we talk about speed, for example, know that it's in the Bible now. The Bible says, run with patience. That's, how do you explain that? It says, let us run the race that is set before us. You run with patience. You will only read that in the Bible. Amen. It doesn't make sense logically. But it says, run with patience. Amen. So when we talk about speed, don't allow anybody harass you. Once you are not lazy and all of that, the Bible says, my times are in his hands. I think it's Psalm 31 or so. My times are in his hands. So it's not, and those are some of the things that some of us are coming into. The Bible says that the chariots of Ahab had gone ahead, but the hand of God came on Elijah, and then he outran the chariots of Ahab. It's not a normal thing. It's purely supernatural. And as we engage this patience that I'm talking about, the supernatural activities in your life will increase. Hallelujah. It's not a prayer, it's just what will happen. There is something about patience, because patience is godly. Amen. Patience is godly. And many of us, some of us, will need to go back to God and trust God to walk this thing in our heart. It's not just for Pastor Zach. It's not just for the pastors. If God has called you to anything worthy of being called, you will need patience. Without patience, we will mess many things up. Do you know, I was thinking this week, do you know how many things that we mess up? From marriage to business to ministry, even national life. Man has our natural tendency is to mess things up. Hallelujah. But one of the ways that God will help us is as we embrace this patience that we're talking about. Left to you. That's why Pastor will always say to us, and I believe it wholeheartedly, your life is at more risk in your own hands. If we leave your life to you, you are not likely to make anything great out of it. And you have to believe it. You have to believe it. That Jesus said that the highest plan he had was to be the youngest VC in Africa. That was his greatest. That was, as you know, God said to Abraham, as far as your eyes can see. That was as far as his eyes could see. Now, can you compare youngest VC in Africa? Who is the youngest VC in Africa now? We don't know. Hallelujah. As far as your eyes can see. So patience. Without patience, we would mess many things up. I have an uncle, my dad, one of my dad's sister's husband, him and we all know Bishop Okonkwo Trem. They used to work in the same bank together. They received the calling around the same time. They knew that they were supposed to go into ministry. Bishop Okonkwo took his own seriously. That my uncle did not take his own seriously. As I talk to you now, yes, fine, he's in Canada. He's not doing anything. I think he's driving trailer or truck or so. Now compare that to where. So now, one of his major achievements now is that he knows Bishop. True life story. This is someone I know. Hallelujah. He knows Bishop. When Bishop goes to Canada, he goes to his house. They are personal friends, but you can't compare even in money itself, you can't compare. Hallelujah. So if we leave your life to you, you are a danger to yourself. But one of the ways that God will not allow that happen is that we embrace this thing. Without patience, we will self-destruct. Hallelujah. And that is the plan. That is the plan of the enemy for us. But he will not succeed. Hallelujah. As a house, for example, I don't think without patience, we will be here. Because there were things that were not happening at the beginning. All we had was promise. But we engaged it with patience, and now it's happening. It's happening stresslessly. Amen. The reason for many people's high blood pressure is lack of patience. So this is not some motivational conversation that we're having. Patience is spiritual. And if you want to be a spiritual person, then one of the ways that we will know a spiritual person is by how patient you are. Hallelujah. Some of us mess up relationships. We've not seen the fruit, the potential of, see, understand that many things in this life never leave potential stage. Hallelujah. Growth is supernatural. Amen. In fact, I read a book one time and the author said that life, this is a pastor in America, Bob Gass. I don't know how many of us know him. He says, life owes you nothing but an opportunity to grow. I'll say it again. Life owes you nothing but an opportunity to grow. Many things never leave potential stage. This is our church now. If we just relax and say, oh, see what God has done and everything, and we stop going forward, there are many things that will not leave potential stage. I don't always believe that we've not really seen anything yet. We're just scratching the surface. How many of us feel that church just started? The first 7 years was just testing. And that's an important mindset. If you don't have that mindset, you might fall away. I'm not sure that you might still be with us in the next 5 years. Hallelujah. We are just starting. But you know, if you don't have patience, you can't talk like this, oh, because 7 years in the life of anything is a significant. So what have I been doing? If we're just starting now, what have we been doing since 2015? Do you understand? But with patience, we would see a lot of supernatural things. And I want to invite you to this life. Sometimes your only strategy to win is to be patient. Hallelujah. You may not understand some things happening around you. Just be patient. And you will see how everything will play out. Patience is powerful. I remember when, I've shared this story before. I remember when we had some crisis in Solid Rock years ago, and some pastors came together, and in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, whatever problem you have with the pastor, you don't go to the press. It's not allowed. Amen. It's just like in Redeemed too, if they kidnap a pastor on no account, would you pay ransom? You can be excommunicated for doing that. It's a law. Hallelujah. So these pastors came together and they went to the press, wrote all kinds of things. Church was in the news. And then when Pastor Bola, in fact, he had come, it was after the crisis. So he had come back after some time and he made a statement. He said, some people have gone to the press. He says, I will weary them with endurance. That was the only statement he made. And of course, as they say, the rest is history. Some of them came back to beg. Some of them are still alive, but it's not really well with them. It's not really well with them like that. Amen. Patience is powerful. I don't know if I've been able to communicate something to us this evening. And it's one of the things that we have to keep learning. Amen. The Bible says sometimes our anger issues, that they are rooted in impatience. And the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. It says, with a furious man, you shall not go. So it means that if you don't sort out your anger issues, the chances that you will see wife, for example, are very low. The chances that it's the Bible. Amen. I don't know about other churches, but at least in this church, if you have known anger issues, you will have to disobey pastor to be married. It's either we put you on drip till you are sorted, or you lose that relationship. Do you know how many business deals have been lost in anger? He says, make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious. Let's see that. Okay, that's it there. Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, do not go. Hallelujah. And this is rooted in impatience, because the more patient you are not likely to be so, you're not likely to be so angry. So as I bring this to a close, the Bible says, whatever was written in the scriptures was written for our learning. And I told us when we started this is that there is an assumption that we're learning. We only pray that assumption is not wrong. Amen. But there is an assumption that we're learning. And then he says that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So when we stay with the scriptures, at some point we would contact this important virtue, we will contact this entity in the spirit, and things will begin to happen. Amen. And I see God's beauty over our lives. I see God's beauty over this house as we begin to operate these things. None of us here will be part of the rat race, and you would run your race, and your life will bring glory to God. You will not fall by the wayside. It's very, very important. People are falling by the wayside. Amen. So you know that thing that people used to say, what is your 5-year plan? What is your 10-year plan? They're not just trying to oppress you. If you walk with God long enough, you will have a 5-year plan. You will have a 10-year plan. You will have a 20-year plan. Because we are in this. So when you hear patience, automatically think of long. Amen. If it's short, we don't need patience. But it's long. Amen. If you're interested in living long, for example, so look at your age now. As God protects you and all of that, You are not dying tomorrow. So you are going to be here for a long time. What is your plan for that? You have to be patient. Amen. One of your, do we understand this? It's all encompassing. So if you think patience, you have to think long. Even in our politics, for example, that's one of the missing links. The older people understand it better. The young people are just gyrating all over the place. After 2023, everybody goes back. But 2027 is coming. How many of us know the conversation for 2027 is already on? But a lot of us are not even in that conversation at all. It's when it's 2026, we'll now start to look forward to fight with on Twitter and all of that. But that will not be you. Amen. Understand that 1 year, for example, is a very, very short time. Amen. How many of you know that this year, for example, is over? If you have vision for your life, this year is over. Amen. As a house now, by the time we get to September, you can trust Pastor, he will begin to tell you about 2023 and all of that. And it's beautiful because you're in a house like that. And patience and vision, they go together. Patience is not just that we're watching Netflix. No. Patience is not that we're chilling. Netflix and chill. No, that's not patience. You are looking at your goal. You are resisting what the enemy is bringing. It's an active thing. And you are valuable to God. When you hear that Boko Haram did not overrun a place, for example, the reason they didn't overrun is not because they were nice and they said, we have done enough, let's go back. In most cases, some people stood and then they'll go back and come again. So it's a military thing. I don't know if we're going to get here in the militarization, but even if we don't get there, this is something that you need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And as you do this, you will see many, many, many good things in your life. Hope this helped you. God bless you. Amen.
You can take your seat. Man, that was a good word, man. It was a very good word. That was a very good word. That's the finest message I've heard on patience. That's a very good word. You know. Patience helps your focus. It's a tool for focus. Because destiny is tough. That's just the truth. When you see anything working, know that there are one or two persons who are patient. Anytime you see somebody working, anytime you see something working, Somebody has refused to give up. Patience is the reason why anything is working. Because whatever is working is being attacked. And for it to keep working is because somebody is not responding to the attack. And I put up a line on my status and I said, as God has called you to greatness, Satan at the same time called people to mock you. That's the package of greatness. If you're going to be great, you're going to be mocked. It's a package. And sometimes we assume that if you're going to be great, you're going to be cheered on or applauded. No. If you're going to be great, you're going to be mocked. So you either choose to be great, or you go and respond to the mockers. You choose one. Stop being great and let the mockers stop. Or keep being great and let the mockery increase. That is the... So, you need to sew yourself some crocodile skin and yet maintain a soft heart. To fulfill destiny, your heart must be soft, but your skin must be strong. So, you need that, you know. You need this teaching to be great, to fulfill your purpose in life. You need to be patient. Everything is going to work out fine. But from here to there, you need to be patient. I like the way Hebrews 10:35 put it, the one you read. From here to there, and if you're going to have a great marriage, you are going to have to be patient. You know, when we're at a Mano event, it took a lot of patience to be carrying speakers early in the morning, up and down, begging some DJs to give you speakers. And some of them have gone for groove. I think it's Tunde that has to do all of that. Begging the DJs for speaker. And then it took patience to also move from an event center to the Siobu's house. And we're there for months. If we had not appreciated, we had not used patience and say we are too big for Palo. Are we here? Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Are we here? No. If I tell you don't cast away your confidence, why am I telling you that? Because there's a reason to. Confidence is such a should be a natural thing. The word confidence is talking about boldness, jive, and all of that. Those things we are used to them happening naturally. Am I correct? If I'm happy, I'm happy. If I'm enthusiastic, I'm enthusiastic. But in the faith, you get it through a teaching. You can see that. You are taught. This faith doesn't allow you to just behave the way circumstances dictate or how you feel. There is a teaching for everything. They'll teach you to be happy. They'll teach you to be, because it's a spiritual thing. So it says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So there is reward for the confidence. For you have need of endurance, so after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So after we have done God's will, the promise delays. It's not every time you do the will and you get the promise. And you know, we are used to getting what we paid for. That's how you, is that not what you do? You go to market, if you give them 2K, they should give you something, right? They now give you, give them 2K and they now say you should wait. We are naturally not used to that, am I correct? And we bring that mindset into the faith also. When you've learned about giving, pastor says you do tithe, you do first fruit, you do honor seed, prophet seed, needy seed, all this. Now you have done all the seed and you just do, okay, where's the harvest? Yeah. And that says after that, you now need patience. Are you with me? So that thing can now marinate. After you have spiced chicken, you leave it for a day. That's when it will be sweet. That you put spice, it's not sweet. No, it has not entered. So patience makes those virtues enter very well. Are we here? So you need it. You need to be a friend of patience. You need to enjoy patience. Stop seeing patience as a tough thing, because you need it all your life. This is not where God told us we will be. All the numbers we wrote when we were in my parlor. Remember, we wrote the numbers of how the church will grow. After 1 year, we'll be 500. After 2 years, we'll be, are we there now? We are not where we what we wrote. But we are at it. By next year, we have to grow attendance to 1,000.
Yeah.
I told Pastor Obi this year, we are going to plant 20 churches. That's what I told him. And I was talking to somebody, till December 31st, if you ask me, what do I want to do 2022? I will tell them, I want to plant 20 churches. And I mean it with all my heart. And when it's January 1, 2023, I will tell you the new vision. To be patient. That's how you just keep going. You know, that scripture you read about those who are fighting themselves. It says they don't grudge against one another. Linking, what scripture was that? Yeah, I love that scripture. Don't go there. You said a lot of things. You spoke about rebellion. And when you're speaking about rebellion, you know what the Spirit of God told me? He said, we already know the end of the rebellious. The end of the rebellious is known. Like, it's not like, let's see what we have. All through scripture, the end of the rebellious is what? Is known. And it's two things, decrease and destruction. All through scripture. When you are rebellious, you decrease. And you what? And you destroy. Those are the two things. This is so when we are having patience, it's not when you're having patience, it's not to quick rock, no. Because the first one is you must not cast confidence. That confidence talks about, I checked the word for confidence, outspokenness, boldness, it's frankness. So even though the thing has not happened, you have to be sharp. People should not be saying this guy is patient too. I say, you don't die. You don't die. Believe this. This guy don't die. They hold on. They are not holding on to life. They say, I won't die. That's the patience. They are won't die. There's someone we. There's okay. I don't want. You know, one of the regrets I've had in life. I have one regret in life. And that regret haunts me. One of my major regrets in life. I still thought about it today. Is that anytime I remember a second that I used to criticize or laugh at somebody, I repent. It's one of my greatest regrets, like mocking someone and speaking ill of someone. It's the greatest sin I'm aware of. That's me personally. I don't know about your own sins. So every day I make a vow, every day consistently, never to speak ill or make a joke that is disparaging. Is English correct? About anyone. And if you make that decision too, it will be good for you, because your days will be good. If you want to have good days, you refrain your lips from you. It's one of the, I know God has forgiven me, but the guilt is still there in my heart. I just pray that, I don't know, I don't even need them to take it away. I want to do life with that, so that it will keep me from never laugh doing a joke that is disparaging. about anybody, especially those who have oil on their head, you know. But the point here is that we have to not cast away our confidence. You have to speak about where you are going to. Yeah? Today, God taught me how to build a house. Today, I was in my parlor. To build anything is to say to the mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea. God told me, if you can cast a mountain into the sea, can you bring a mountain out of the sea into dry land? I said, yes. It's the same. He said, all right. He said, what about before you put that mountain into the sea, why not put some rooms and some elevators in that mountain? I said, I can. I said, so put it there. I'll put it on dry land. He says, don't you know a mountain is heavier than a house? So if you believe you can cast a mountain, what about you can cast a house? And it's simple. He says, if you say to this mountain, I know what doubt you have. So anything you want to do in life, keep speaking it and keep working hard to deal with doubt. The doubt disappears and you are speaking it, it will happen. Anything you don't doubt will happen. Stop trying to make things happen. Try to take away doubt. The major work is to take away doubt. Not a lot of you are trying to make something happen. And as you are trying, you are doubting. That's a waste of effort. Why not focus on taking out that whatever you are not doubting will what? Will happen. But this what I'm talking about is the endurance. Huh? Which is speaking. Are you together? You're speaking. Do you know how this church will go? Do you know? I know. And all that I know is even lesser than what will happen. But I have an idea. No, I don't have a desire of where this church will go. I know exactly where it's going. I can only be wrong if it's more than what I thought. The only possibility that I'm wrong is that it's more. I don't have a desire of where this house is going. There's nothing I'm doing with desire. I have an exact, not a dream. I don't have a dream of where it's going to. I have a definite, not a knowledge. But knowledge looks like maybe something for biology or chemistry. I know exactly where it's going. As if I've gone there. Are you together with me? So that is confidence. Is that not confidence? Why is that confidence? Because there are many things that will make me cast away that confidence. But that confidence remains. Are we together here? So don't cast away the confidence. We are talking about confidence. Are we here, friends? So don't cast away your confidence. So don't say you are patient. It's not like patience or something is paining you and now. No. It has to come with confidence. That's why it's called with faith and patience. And you know there's confidence in faith. There's no crying in faith. But I would or not. That's not faith. Faith is very definite. So the thought that you cannot mix faith and patience is a lie. We can faith and patience work hand in hand. We are just gradually. When the Bible talks about those who we have who inherit eternal life and all of that, that's Romans 2:7. It says through patience continuance. I like that word. It was one of my early scriptures. Patience says eternal life to those who by patience continuance in doing good. Are you together with me? successful or the patience continuance. Not patience waiting, not patience crying, not patience willing. What kind of patience? Patience that has continuity and is in action. Patience that does something and it does good. So the enemy will want to get you to stop doing the right. Because sometimes, you know, the scripture you read says that after we have done the will, sometimes when something is not working, we think maybe we are not doing the will. That maybe I'm not doing the right thing. No. You are doing the right thing. Just continue doing the right thing. You understand? Just do what? Continue doing the right thing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I've been through a lot as a church. Pastor, am I not correct? I said, I've been through a lot as a church. Sometimes on the day of the way the day the guest minister is going, we don't even have the honorarium. But trusting God for honorarium while the guest minister is preaching. Yeah. I trust in God. Yeah. But now we can even, now the last one we did the honorarium before the minister even finished, before even finished preaching. That's why I is honorarium. And the man saw it, I was shocked. It's a privilege. Now we even give honorarium to people who are not preaching. The preacher is not, they didn't come to preach. We just sent honorarium for being anointed. Yeah, no, you are anointed. You are anointed. Take an offering. You have, yeah. Yeah. There are meetings we did that we had to pay back. We had to start paying months after the meeting. We're still paying back. But still pain. Everybody has been blessed. Everybody has received healing, prophecy. It's patient. All our children now who now give millions. They have 2 naira. Just a few years ago. Yeah, they didn't have any, they didn't have cobalt. Just two, 3 years ago. And now they are saying, I give 1 million, I give 3 million, I give 2 million. Yeah. I'm not praying. I said they are. Yeah. You two, you're already trying now. I saw you allowed. You are trying. You're coming up. So when you bring an offering, when I say you will give more. Don't think I like money. I'm praying for you. I learned it from Daddy Gio. I said, this is the least you will bring. I said, ah, don't say, Pastor, ah, you're not even thanking God for this order. we count our wealth by how much we give. Don't forget that, not how much you receive. The things I'm telling you are very exact knowledge. I'm a fan of exact knowledge. It's not Bible exegesis. I'm telling you what to do so that Wale should read it. You understand? I'm telling you, I'm more valuable than almost all the textbooks you have read. No. I'm sorry that way, but all your textbooks, there's nothing there. I'm telling you, what I'm telling you works more than all the textbooks. I'm sorry. If I sound arrogant, but something that has worked consistently. I've never met anybody who was consistent with the message for 1 year, just 1 year, and the life did not shift. 5 years, it will be another, you'll be a new person. You will not be, 5 years, 1 year, you will change. For 5 years, you would have died. The old person would have died. A new person would resurrect. Yeah. It's the word of God. It's what they used to make sun, moon, all those things. So your project is too... Yeah, a small project. You understand? We actually want to use it to change the earth. Let me tell you something for free. What are you killing me? Amen. I don't know what the man is doing here. See, what we are doing here, let me tell you, we're not growing a powerful ministry or a big ministry. That's not it. What we are doing here is going to change the world. What is happening here is going to change the world. It's not a big ministry. We're going to change the world. The world will have a major, obvious, clear shift because of what will happen through this strength. Definite. The world will say, this is why this is happening, and it will be linked. It's not just the testimony of the church. What I'm saying would also be the testimony of the world. Are you together with me? That is exactly what's going to happen. Amen. So you shouldn't cast away your what? So when I see you every day, what should you carry? Confidence. Now, even though the promise has not happened, right? Confidence. You have to have confidence. And that is the only way the promise will happen. It says, make no friendship with the angry. And and don't go with the furious. Pastor, you know why? Because the angry always looks for friends. Yeah. The angry always looks for friends. You know, I saw a man who came here some weeks ago. And I found out he's an angry man. An angry man. And he's looking for friends. Very angry man. He's looking for friends, but of course, he's not going to find them. Angry. And then he was very appreciative of what God was doing. But I know it's for friendship. When somebody is furious, don't go with him. So the furious is always going somewhere. He's always going. Amen. The furious is never stable. He's always going somewhere. Have you met them? They are furious people. There are some people who are furious about church. Have you met some people? They are furious. They say, you know, the church. They're just furious about church. The church. They're just angry. They're just furious. You'll find out those people never have a church where they are. They don't. Sometimes they visit, or sometimes they stay at home. They're like, you know, I don't allow a man just control my life. I don't allow, they are angry and furious. Now, what the Bible says you do with them? It says, don't make friendship with them because they will spoil the furious. But this is such a beautiful message. Now, see the joy has been consistent. Look at your church. I'm talking about GCC. The the joy has been consistent from day one.
The joy you see here, we've always had it.
And many times we are not aware of our lack and the promises that were not fulfilled. But remember when we were here without the ACs, it was when the ACs came, we knew we were suffering. Until it came before. When people came and said our church was hot, we were wondering what are they. It was as if they are insulting us. What was that? I was hot there. You know, you wear your suit, everything. Wear your suit, do your makeup. I didn't know it was hot. It was a young chap who decided to get the first three or four ACs. Very young chap. You know what he did? He went on a year savings. And saved his income for 1 year. And went and got these three standing units that first came. A young chap. This year, I thought he was blessed. I was speaking to him today. He says that the blessing has never started. He's about to enter into another level. Yeah. A young chap. Very small boy. Very small boy. I'm usually careful with those who are. So I'm usually careful with those who are close to me. If you are close to me, it's not you that got close to me. I'm the one that allowed you close to me. I don't know. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about myself. But I wanted to say a story, but maybe for another time. I was a young chap. And then God has so blessed. God has never started blessing. Let's see. Young chap. And I have bodyguard. Do you know I used to have bodyguard? People don't know I have bodyguard. Did you used to be my bodyguard then? Pastor, did you used to be my bodyguard? When this young chap first came into the house, into church, I used to allow him close to me. So one day, did you call me and said, this guy's getting close to you. How far? You won't know that you can do those kind of things. That's his work in my life. He said, I noticed, Alpha. I said, somehow I trust this boy's heart. I said, because I give people time. I said, I trust this guy's heart. He said, they leave him, don't. Let's communicate him. Said, okay, if you say so. He asked me like twice or thrice. Another day he called me, he said, I said, no, his heart is good. But why was I even going there? Patience. You understand? From small chap, but just remain patient. It doesn't matter where you are now. You have to know where you are going to. Are you with me? Let your future give you feeling. What should give you feeling? Future. Get your feeling from your future. Don't get your feeling from your circumstance. So Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's a lie. He has not died. How will he resurrect? That was when he wanted to pray for Lazarus. He was already calling himself resurrection and the life because he was getting his feeling from the future. The Bible says, because of the joy that was set ahead of him. That's the future. He endured the cross and the spice for the joy. So there were three things. There was joy set ahead. There was shame. And there was cross. Are you together with me? You have the right to choose one. You can for shame. You can for cross. Or you can for joy. All those three things are feelings. Two are present. One is in the future. So you choose the feeling you want to feel. And then the Bible says, Jesus, for the joy that was set ahead. And that's like me. That's how I live my life. I live for the joy. That's why I can go through anything. And that's why when I'm going through something, I don't go through it as if it's a strange thing. It's just like, it's for now. It's for a moment, Jerry. I can go through anything. I can live. I can go through anything. I'm telling you the truth. I can go through anything. I can go through anything because I am definite of the future. And that's why also I can do without anybody. Like there's nobody I'm trying my best to make sure the person does not live my life. You understand? Because I've seen the future and I'm just there. I don't have to, you know, change myself or lie to accommodate any kind of relationship or whatever. Praise God. Why? Because I'm confident. And that's why I can help anybody. I can help you be, if you want to be prime minister of the whole world, I'm going to help you if I can help you. It will not mean anything to me. Your greatness will not mean, it's not an indictment. You know, for some people, other people's greatness is an indictment. Yeah, so let me give you a very uninteresting example. Very uninteresting. You have to train yourself to understand that another person's fulfillment is not an indictment on your life. You have to, because some of you are around people who are going to be extremely, their light is going to shine. And don't count it as an indictment. And you better be careful of saying people have changed. You know, some people are like that. Immediately some God shines light on someone. They say, guys, she has changed. She has changed. Huh? It's not like before. Sometimes it's not that the person has changed, it's that you cannot accommodate the person great. Listen, it's easy to accommodate people when they are small. You can be very kind, though. I tell you the truth, when people are small, you can be very kind. But when people become what you never imagined, you begin to be jittery. And that's very natural. But you are a spiritual person. And I'm preparing you guys because some of you are going to have friends who are going to just, God will, for the purposes of God, God will just take them to an unimaginable place. You understand? Just be grateful to it. Be thankful for it. Are you together with me? And respect their new routine. Respect what? A new routine. Are we together here? Respect their new routine. There will be some people here who will genuinely have to miss some services after a while. And it will be the fulfillment of destiny. It's not like they're puffed in the heart, but it's just their new routine. You have to learn to respect it. For example, some women, when they get married, they might not be as available as they used to be when they were single. Am I correct? And it's not because she's proud. It's just because she's now cooking. She doesn't cook when she feels like eating. She cooks because people feel like eating. People must eat. And she does that every day. And you only cook when you feel like eating. People cannot meet again 4 o'clock. You know that 4 p.m. meeting? You can't have it again. Because that's when she has to start preparing to cook for night food. Now don't say she has become proud. No. There's more responsibility. We have ended the service. You can leave the Facebook.